Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinker. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to an episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm family nurse practitioner Jerry Drinker. And together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, Med Spa that's located in Pace, Florida. We're very excited to get to that.
We're a very excited gay couple that's here.
We're very excited gays. And today, we have one of our favorite nurse practitioners with us, part of our Skin and Tonic family, Allie, is joining us. So we're off to a great start for a fun topic.
Fun and gay. Excited to be here again. We have a really cool topic today that was inspired by another podcast that I watch sometimes called Call Her Daddy. And Jerry was like, call her daddy. So we're going to talk about stereotypes in plastic surgeries and aesthetic procedures today. And, you know, how people can get, you know, online hate and bullying and things for getting aesthetic procedures to make them look how they feel on the inside. Have either of you ever gotten any hate or criticism from either people you know or people online?
What's the stereotype?
I don't know, Al, if you want to say what you think, but
a way that you perceive somebody to be based on outer appearance or a fact that you know about them and assuming other qualities about them based on one thing, whether it's like an outside thing or something you know about them.
Basing an opinion of a person on a characteristic that they have.
Whether it's aesthetics, whether it's a subgroup, like I think we've certainly been the subject of stereotypes in terms of being an openly gay couple. People perceive us a certain way before they ever get to know us or meet us. I think that there's stereotypes about, you know, the way people want to look, or stereotypes. I'm sure you've experienced about this with blondes, right? So we have stereotypes about a lot of different either physical characteristics, mannerisms, subgroups of people. So to me, you know, that's what we're talking about today with aesthetic procedures. And so people have certain ideas that if you get these things done, that you're probably superficial, that you only care about appearance, that you don't have depth to your personality. Those are some things that we hear that come up. Certainly for myself, if I'm aware of it, I'm not aware of it if I've had any criticism or negative feedback based on procedures that I have. We've definitely got negative feedback online. And in fact, we just, I don't know when this episode is going to be released, so it'll probably not be in sync with timing, but we just filmed a Instagram on some hate stuff that we got based on a recent podcast where we talked about a controversial topic. And I've definitely got, you know, some negative feedback about certain things that I posted in the educational arena. So I've had some other experts kind of push back and send me information about what qualifies you to talk about this. And, you know, for me, it was a little bit hard to take initially because there's a bit, I think, in all of us, when you venture out and you do something new or you start to become an expert in an area, there's a little bit of imposter syndrome for me, at least. I feel like, why am I here? Why are people listening to me? And I negate the fact that, you know, we paid a lot of money for education. We've been in this space for over 16 years. Like Jerry and I have spent tens of thousands of dollars trying to learn these procedures. And now as we share them with other people and gain more popularity or more visibility, there are people out there that don't like that. And so for me personally, I can at least speak. I'm very fortunate to have a good support system and I have pretty thick skin at this point. So those things don't really bother me, but I do wonder how this would impact, especially if it's related to a physical trait or a physical characteristic, people that may be a little bit insecure about themselves.
I think it's really big. Like you said, the bigger your name gets and the more you're out there on social media, the more people are going to, like, these internet trolls are going to come after you, and it'll be some fake account. It won't be under their real account. And so there's no way to reach back at these people, you know? But I think the more you put yourself out there, the more likely it'll be to happen.
I think there are a lot of stereotypes that we just almost subconsciously think about. I don't think it's necessarily meant to be mean, but I think it's something that we just are, it's ingrained in our thoughts from the beginning that, you know, a man should have wider shoulders and a narrow waist to be more athletic, where that's not necessarily the case. And mean, there are a zillion of them out there. I'm sure we're about to dive into some of them, but you know, I think some of those things we just think about, like as kids, we see cartoon characters and that's how the masculine cartoon characters are made. Or we see the, you know, cartoon characters as a kid that were female and usually they're like pretty blondes and they're, you know, have a feminine waist and a feminine shape and walk a certain way or talk a certain way. And usually the caregiver was the female in these cartoons. And so even though we're not talking about aesthetics as cartoon kids, that does set a stereotype for how we perceive male versus female. And I think that translates right on over into what we're going to be talking about with aesthetics.
What I kind of got from the Call Her Daddy podcast was the one with Megan Fox. And she kind of talked about all the hate that she had gotten online about all the aesthetic treatments she's had done. And she very openly, almost very openly, talks about everything that she's had done except for one thing, which she says she's gatekeeping. Very disappointed in that. But she says, you know, people think, you know, she's had facelifts, think she's had threads, think she's had all these different things. And she very openly says, you know, I've had filler, I've had Botox, and she's had some rhinoplasties and breast augmentations. And she kind of goes through those different procedures and what exactly she's had done. And then I think, like I said, just being in the public eye, people are going to assume you've had all these different things done. They're not accounting, taking into account like her age and her aging process. Like people look different as they age. You know, as you grow older, you're going to change in appearance somewhat. And so she kind of says, you know, where do we draw the line at being mad at somebody for not being natural? And what do you consider natural? Are you going to be mad at somebody for coloring their hair? That's not natural. Or are you going to be mad at somebody for a piercing or a tattoo or a spray tan? You know, where do you draw the line? Why is it Botox? Why is it filler? Where does that line get drawn? And that's going to be different for everybody. But again, it's our bodies and why do people care?
It is really kind of a fascinating topic. And it's something that I think that we all as aesthetic providers that we kind of struggle with. So I think there's a fine line as we get into this, and we've talked about this in prior episodes, between body dysmorphia and aesthetic procedures. And when people are coming in for enhancement or augmentation of a certain area, for whatever their reason, based on a stereotype, a preconceived notion, or whether they just have a healthy view of their body and there's just a particular area they want to change, versus people who are falling prey to some of these internet trolls or may have a true psychological disorder, and how do we screen and sort out the difference in those two? I think it's a challenge, and I think we all try to do our best at that, but I think it's really hard. I hope to have Dr. Toni Pikus on an episode in the future. She's a psychologist based in Australia. I've heard her speak at some of the international seminars that I've been to, and she's absolutely amazing. So hopefully she'll join us on an episode in the future to kind of talk about this. But she has, you know, kind of dedicated her career to body dysmorphia. And specifically, she does a lot of education to aesthetic providers. So she's on faculty for Allergan and Galderma, MERS. So a lot of the big name companies. And, again, don't quote me on that. I know she's on several of those. I may have one of those mixed up. But she does a lot of education to aesthetic providers to say, how do we, like, really tease this out? And obviously, if we're in an aesthetic space and people are coming in to see us and we're immediately starting to do a psyche eval, our business is not going to thrive. So we have to find ways to discreetly assess these patients, make sure that we're screening for this in some manner and providing treatments that are medically safe and appropriate for that treatment, but also providing the support system and the resources or the referrals necessary for those who may be in that small percentage of patients who have a true psychological disorder. And whether it's through stereotypes, bullying, online trolls, whatever, they fall in prey to that, for us not to continue to exaggerate that problem.
So if you guys want to, we can start talking about like some of the stereotypes that we frequently see or what would you say is the most common in like anesthetics?
You clearly have a thought by asking that question. So you tell us.
I really don't. I just thought it was a hard question.
Didn't want to get asked at first.
I didn't want somebody to ask me, so I thought I would just throw it out there and ask you guys.
A very common stereotype is anybody that comes into an aesthetic practice is superficial. I think I believe that many of our patients are self-conscious and self-aware of that. And I think that that's so, so wrong. I think that many of our patients are anything but superficial. I'm superficial when it comes to certain things. I'm not saying I'm not.
You clearly got a new grill.
I got a new grill. I got my new teeth. I'm doing a lot of facial procedures. So I am superficial, but I think a lot of our patients may have things that they're concerned with, but I would say they're anything but superficial. When you get to know them, they really have a lot of depth of character. They're great people who like contribute back to society that they just want to enhance. And so when I hear people that are not getting aesthetic procedures and they're like, I would never do that. That's so superficial. Who cares about a wrinkle? You're supposed to age that way. I get frustrated with that. And it's not that I care that anybody gets any procedure done. That's fine. Live your life and age the way you want to age, but also don't be judgmental about people who are coming in to do something that they feel will make them.
Why did you do, like, I live with you. I know you better than anyone. And every single thing that we just listed and just talked about was never something that I told Chris he needed, or that anybody, I don't think anybody ever told Chris he needed, or that he's told me, but it's something that makes you feel good about yourself. And I think that's our job, is to make people feel good. And, you know, we're talking about stereotypes, and I think this is kind of the year of stereotype. Well, we're within the past 12 months, because one of the best movies that came out about stereotypes was Barbie. And it really debunked a lot of stereotypes that we would always think of, because you look at Barbie and you just think like dumb blonde. And so it goes through, I mean, if anybody hasn't watched the movie, it's got some really cool, it's not a cartoon. It's way deeper than what I was prepared for.
My favorite part is when she's in like the real world and she looks up at like the Miss USA girls in their bikinis and she's like, oh, the Supreme Court. That's my favorite part of the movie.
So stereotypes truly is like, you know, something that it's someone else's perception of the way that we should be. And that's what like you have to work on at a personal level, is to not let stereotypes change you.
Well, I think like, how dare somebody fault you or try to troll you for bettering yourself? Like, if you truly believe that's bettering yourself and that's going to help your, how you feel about yourself or how you carry yourself on a daily basis, how dare somebody fault you for wanting to better yourself? Like, I don't judge somebody for reading a book that I don't want to read. I don't have to read it.
I mean, it's just interesting, because the things that we do that I think maybe a lot of the general public's not aware of, we really see aesthetic treatments change people's lives. And it sounds superficial, but the fact is sometimes there is one characteristic, something that is nobody really notices, but that individual will focus so much on it. They don't have the self-confidence to speak in groups. They don't want to take photos with their family. You know, we have one patient, and it's posted all over our social media, so you guys can check it out, but had a huge mole above her lip. And really, it impacted her for years, decades of her life. That she didn't want to take photos with her children. She didn't want her husband like kissing her on that side. She thought it was in the way, that it was embarrassing. And something as simple as removing that has given her such self-confidence. And she's like, it changed her life. And sometimes those things are as simple as a wrinkle between somebody's eyes, or a red spot or a brown spot or a hollowness in their face that we really don't notice, other people don't focus on. But if that's all that they're thinking of when they're trying to interact, yes, some people may call that superficial. I will tell you that I think that we have medically appropriate and safe treatments to give them that confidence back. And it's very rewarding from a provider standpoint to see it change their life.
I think that was one of the things I worried about most, like transitioning from critical care into aesthetic, was losing that like being needed or like making a difference. And I was like, I'd never worked in aesthetics. And so I was like, I wonder if I'm going to miss that feeling of like changing somebody's life or helping save someone. But you do get that feeling in aesthetics, because you do help women gain confidence, men gain confidence, and we do sexual health treatments at the clinic. You know, there's so many different things that we do to improve people's quality of life that I didn't miss out on that at all. If anything, I see it more now than I did.
Yeah, we form kind of long-lasting relationships with the clients. I mean, you have people that you've seen over 10 years now.
Yeah, I have people that I've seen like since we moved back from Chicago. And those people, like, they hold dear places in my heart. And I think that we also do in theirs. And, you know, they search us out when it's time for a special event, even we don't see all of them all the time. But I think that, you know, they search us out because of the way that coming into the practice makes them feel. It makes you feel good. Nobody wants to feel bad about themselves. No one wants to be self-conscious about anything. And stereotypes are, I mean, they're hell to get over sometimes. Like, I absolutely hate talking in front of crowds because I'm very Southern. I have a deep accent and it's perceived as ignorance. And I know that. And so it's, you know, it's tough when you get in.
We can argue about that.
Because we're in the South, is the reason we can argue it.
I mean, that's interesting. I want people to comment on this. So when we post this, put your comments on it so we get your opinion. I think that was true traditionally. And I told you, I grew up in the South. I had a much deeper accent. And when I was back in anesthesia, my anesthesia training, a resident, I did spokesperson training. And they did coach and train me to try to neutralize or minimize my Southern accent because it was perceived as slow or dumb. It's actually embraced now. It's, if you talk to many of, you know, speech coaches, it's seen as endearing. It's seen as trustworthy, that people want to get close to you, that you're somebody that they can be friends with. But I think it's a hard, I agree with you in the fact that it's a hard stereotype to get over, because it still rings in my head that somebody told me that at some point. And I think that is the narrative that plays over in your mind. And I think that it goes to the point that stereotypes can be difficult to get over from an individual perspective, because I would venture to say that many of our listeners, and we'll see, definitely give us your comments. We got thick skin. We can tolerate it. If you do think that the Southern accent is dumb, put it in there. Let us hear about it. And Jerry will say, I told you so.
Me from Botox and you say you think I'm dumb.
But he will say, I told you so. But I would venture to guess that's not necessarily true any longer. But it's hard for you to get that, you know, narrative out of your mind, because that is what was ingrained. And so I think that really reinforces all the things we're talking about. Once people get a certain thing in their mind, it is very hard to overcome that.
I was self-conscious of my accent. I went to Alabama, like a very Southern school, but so many out-of-state kids go there now. And I was my very first best friend, Maddie, shout out if you're watching. She is from Chicago. And I was so like paranoid that she was going to think that I was some idiot because of my accent. And she sounded so different from me. I would say something and she would mock how I said it. Not mean, but like just intrigued by how I talked. And I would do the thing with her Chicago accent. And y'all are probably like, well, you didn't do a great job at it. But I did kind of try to neutralize my accent a little bit. And I had people from home comment on when I would come back home. They're like, you sound different. And I'm like, yeah, it's because I don't want people thinking that I'm stupid. But it's not that people always think that. It's just that was a thing in my
head. No, I dealt with that when I was in Chicago and went through all this. I'd come home and they thought I lost my Southern accent. I would go to Chicago and they thought I would gain it back. So it really kind of, and I don't know where.
The longer I'm back down here, the more it comes back.
I've never been accused.
Well, somehow we got
off track.
That's
Sorry.
My fault. I got us off track. Sorry.
Usually that's me.
This
I know. It's me today.
Just.
I guess I have another topic kind of to bring up. It's not necessarily like a stereotype, but I guess like a judgment on a common patient that we have in the clinic. And it's always, I have these women come in and they're like, my husband hates that I get this done. My husband doesn't like, my boyfriend doesn't think that I need this. And she's always like, I'm not getting it for him. And so this is kind of just a PSA to all of the men out there. She's not getting it for you.
I have had interesting thoughts on that. You start first with this, Jerry.
I think that we all want to look and be the very best that we can for who we're with. And so saying that you're not getting it for someone, like, I think everything that I've done is, it makes me feel better. And I think Chris can argue this, but I think everything that he's done probably makes him feel better. But I also think part of the goal for that is to be more attractive to someone, whether it's to an audience or to the person that you're with. And so it's an arguable statement really to me, because you do it for yourself to feel better, to have the confidence to improve the relationship you're in. Chris is about to argue because his mouth just twitched a little bit. But so
no, I'm not arguing it, but it's I think it's an interesting statement. I kind of agree with you. You've never told me to get any of these procedures. I've never told you to get any procedures. And we've had quite a few of these discussions recently about aesthetic things in particular. And so I know there are things that bother you. I'm going to just throw it out there now. Again, I don't know when this is going to air. You may be 50 pounds lighter when this airs. I don't know. But you've talked about your weight and it's bothering you. And I've never thought your weight was an issue. I understand because mine has fluctuated and I've gained and lost weight. And so I don't think in your mind, you're like, I want to lose weight to look better for you. Where in my mind, it truly has never been an issue. So I do believe when some of those spouses are saying, like, don't do this, I think you need to look at why are they saying not do it. So is it a financial strain? And so they're having trouble paying their mortgage or their utility bills, and they see someone spending $100 on fillers and they think they're beautiful the way they are. Is that a true statement? Is it a fear that they're going to lose that person? And so I think sometimes there's a fear of change and they equate that with loss. So if they get bigger lips, bigger boobs, a liposuction, does that mean they're looking for someone else? They're doing this for someone because I don't see a problem with them. So why are they going through these changes? If it's not for me, then who is it for? Or if that changes, but I believe that's true. And Jerry and I experienced some of this. I mean, it goes back years and I'll like just share it personally, but we experienced this with like counseling in the beginning of our relationship because you almost are afraid the counselor is going to change that person. And through counseling, is that going to make them not like you anymore? Off and on throughout our relationship, like I've had periods of time that I've really struggled with like anxiety and depression. And so throughout the 16 years or so that we've been together, I've been on and off antidepressants. But I believe early on there was a fear, is the antidepressant medication going to change him where he doesn't like me? So I think that you have to really look at why is your partner or spouse saying that. And I think it's equally important for the person getting the treatment to not just negate those feelings and not just say, they're saying this, but I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for me. So forget about their feelings. I believe both people have a valid point, and it's a little bit of a deeper conversation than just, I don't care what they say. In the end, personally, it's about being looking and feeling your best. And you use whatever tools you can to accomplish that, whether it's through your physical health, the way that you physically look, your attractiveness, because I do believe that confidence will then translate to your relationship.
I think a lot of it too is, not all men, but like some men don't understand like the concept and how minute the changes that we make at a medical spa are. They think about like these like crazy plastic surgery people that they see on TV, and or they think of the show Botched. Like, my husband definitely walked in on me watching Botched, and he's like, yeah, you can't go too far, you know? And I'm like, we could not go that far in the clinic, you know? And so I think a lot of it is the fear of those, like, extremes that are more readily available for people to see on the internet, you know, like the complications or the crazy stuff, versus everybody who gets these things done on a daily basis, and that people just don't know that they get it done because they're getting it done by a good provider and very naturally.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just a good provider though, because some people want extreme looks. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think there's two different things there. Is it if we talk about motivations, financial, a fear of losing that person or changing them, but there's also a fear of complications. So your fear they're going to get hurt in some way for something that you don't view necessary. And there's this, I don't like it because it looks overdone. So what may look, and that is where if we, you know, ever are fortunate enough to get Dr. Tony on the podcast, there really is a fine line between when is it overdone, when is it too much, and when is it just somebody that looks, likes an exaggerated look. And so, I mean, we could really keep going down that list.
I think everybody's natural is different.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that line is going to be different for every person.
And so I think aligning that sometimes with partners or spouses or friends or family is also important. I know our family, Jerry, maybe talk some about your family's concern with the aesthetics procedures that we've done for you.
I think their big concern was that by doing it and raised by a Southern family and with a macho dad that's never done anything and always good looking. And I think that their concern, me doing things, was going to feminize me in some way, make me more gay. I'm like,
I should not.
The shot in my face is not what made me gay. We won't talk about that, Mom. But I do think that that's a stereotype, that their concern was about over feminization, looking overdone, people talking about somebody that gets these things done, because it's not popular in my town, like where I'm from. It's not something that's common. but it's not common because it's not readily available. It's not that people don't want to look better, because I've been through stages where we had, my lips have been overdone before. I've been jacked with my brows before. My cheeks have been slightly overdone before. We've tried it.
Now, mind you, most of this is because he is always a guinea pig for me to learn. And that's been many, many years. So any of you that are afraid to come for treatment, we have learned that Jerry's been through all those stages.
So maybe my mom's fears were justified in the beginning, but we've learned a lot. But I do think it plays into stereotypes. And I think even now, she's the best mom ever, but she's you don't need to do all that. You don't have to do all that. You're pretty just like you are. And I think that's what a loving spouse usually tells. How many guys do we have come in that buy, $1,000 gift cards for their wives, but they're like, you don't need this. So it's not that they're putting a foot down saying, don't do this. It's a sweet, endearing, I love you the way that you are, and you don't have to do anything different.
Also falls into the stereotype, as Alex has mentioned, that anybody that gets anything done is going to be overdone. They assume people that are walking into any sort of medical or medical aesthetic practice is going to come out overdone.
Some people come to us and that's exactly what they want. They do want a look of to be slightly overdone. And there's not anything wrong with that, as long as it's something, a person that, one, you feel like they're stable, mentally stable, and they can handle it. You're not feeding a body dysmorphia, which is something that we evaluate in our consultation, and that you guys line up on your expected outcomes. I think that's very important, and that it's safe.
You guys are meaning the aesthetic provider and the patient.
And the ultimate goal is to the patient to come out with a safe and positive outcome.
The funny thing is, Megan Fox said in that podcast that she hates going under general anesthesia. And so she said, she would love to have a BBL, she said, but she doesn't have the fat content to do it. So she said, whenever you can get a fat transfer from another human, that's when she'll have it done. And she was saying general anesthesia is so hard on her body that she said, if she gets a BBL, everyone will know. She said, no one will pass her without taking a second glance, because she says, if I'm going through that much trouble to get it, I'm getting it.
Sounds like Crowley.
That sounds like me. If I'm going to do it, get it. Go big or go home. But, it is, we have a handful of patients. So at Skin and Tonic, our aesthetic practice, we really kind of focus on natural or slightly augmented results. We really want to keep people looking good for their age or slightly younger, but we don't do a lot of exaggerated, overdone looks. That being said, we have a handful that are overdone, and we know that. We know who those patients are, and we have discussions with them. It's not an accident that they end up looking that way. And so I do think it's important to have those conversations for the aesthetic providers that are out there listening to this. And so I know that we, all three of us, train, and collectively we have, thousands of students that we train per year that are entering this space. And, the caution that I give to those that are just entering the space is that your reputation can be formed, your reputation will precede you. And it doesn't take many patients for that to happen with. And so in the beginning, if you're doing a lot of unnatural, over augmented, overfilled, more body modification type procedures, you're going to be known for that. And that is the tribe that you will attract. And that is what's going to come and see you. Now that we've been in practice, well over a decade in Florida, not counting our time in Chicago, we've treated thousands of patients. We are pretty well known for our natural results. So if we have a handful here and there that we choose to selectively, make their lips a little bit larger than we normally would like, but they happen to like really large lips, we are okay with taking that risk. But if you're brand new in the space, I would recommend that you think really carefully about the type of image that you want representing your practice before you start doing some of these exaggerated procedures. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode. So thanks everyone for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to talking to you all again next week.
We'll see you soon.